Here we are. Kickoff is upon us on the Ira Kaufman podcast. Unbelievable. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper is here. Ira, I cannot even get into all this introduction because the star of the show this week is the Buccaneers 2020 roster kicking off Sunday. This podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford. We are so fired up for everything that Bill Curry Ford does for JoeBucksFan.com. Sage,
you've already ridiculed me, Isbitz. We're 30 seconds into the podcast. I thought I was supposed to be the star of the show. Yeah. My name's on this thing.
Today it's opening day.
The Chiefs kicking off against the Texans. You know what? That's chopped liver, Lee. Chopped liver. Ooh. The real meal.
The Super Bowl champions.
The pastrami sandwich of this weekend is going to be in the Superdome. Bucks, Saints, and Lee, how do I know that? We've got Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. Dick Stockton is watching the NBA playoffs in his basement, and Buck.
Who's more with it, Stockton or Biden?
Stockton by a smidge.
Okay. But you already goofed up, Ira.
What do you mean?
About the pastrami sandwich? You know better than that. It's the Reuben at Big Storm.
Oh, the Reuben at Big Storm.
All right, Sage, look, you're talking about Dick Stockton. Why are you upsetting Bucks fans on purpose?
I'm trying to show to you how much the Bucks stature hasn't markedly improved.
Come on, Ira, you've said it on five different podcasts already. Enough already. We got football, we got the Saints, we got a matchup, and we've got the best deals in town at Bill Curry Ford. Your proud sponsor, our proud sponsor, Bill Curry Ford. 60 years of Tampa tradition. Mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Ira, you know the situation of Bill Curry Ford, general manager Sean Sullivan. He is ready to help any and every Bucks fan personally by phone, text, email, smoke signal, walk into the dealership. He's going to help you out. He's going to give you an Ira Kaufman discount, but he's going to give you great service, and they do everything at Bill Curry Ford.
Steve, Lee and I were just there over the weekend picking our fantasy draft. Now, Lee was there as an observer. You had a representative, Man Beast intern Zach.
Proxy better.
Proxy, who did a nice job for you, Steve. He was under strict instructions. But I talked to Sean. I asked him how business was. He said, fantastic. Fantastic. They have totally overcome a sluggish spring, and they're going full bore. I asked him how many 2019s he's got left. Only a few. And there's some tremendous deals to be had on those 19s. He does a lot of business with the Buccaneer organization, Lee. And, boy, Sean Sullivan was in rare form Sunday night, Lee, talking about the Bucs. He's more excited than we are, and we're at a fever pitch.
Real quick about Sean. He recently sold a vehicle to one of your listeners, Ira, and they took our advice to go talk to Sean Sullivan about the Bucs. And, by the way, buy a vehicle.
Absolutely.
And Sean said this gentleman who bought a vehicle, he said they talked football for 20 minutes before one word about a car. Like the guy walked off the street, you know, same thing. Like that's how intensive a Bucks fan Sean is.
And if you don't want to talk Bucks, Sean will talk cars in the exact same passionate way. BillCurryFord.com, that's where you get started. BillCurryFord.com. It's a 4:25 kickoff, Ira. So for folks who are not coming to join you at Big Storm Brewery, where we're going to have a heck of a party, fired up fans, over 3,000 square feet of outdoor covered viewing area.
Premier beer garden in the Bay Area, my friend.
The best draft beer in the Bay Area, the best canned beer, craft beer, amazing food. You're on the marquee, Ira, outside on 49th Street right now.
I want a picture of that.
I got a picture. I'll show you a video. I was there today.
Video.
We are jacked up for the party, the watch party. All the details at JoeBucksFan.com. Big Storm Brewing Company in Clearwater on Sunday. Get there early. And kickoff's 4:25. We're going to have a blast. We got giveaways. Ira, we were just holding the Tom Brady jerseys and the...
I thought those were going to be in my permanent possession over there, Steven.
No, Sage. No. You get the Giselle jersey.
By the way, Steve,
you missed that, Ira.
I don't miss anything with Isbitz. Nothing's over till it's over with him. But
and Ira, the official over-under on your Cuban inhalation on Sunday is 2.5.
Oh,
2.5.
Under.
Oh, it's got to be under. It's got
Because you got Man Beast Zach is going to be guarding your food.
Come on, my belt, my belt won't reach that far if I have over two.
Hey, I got one more. The gentleman who bought a car from him recently, he sold several cars from our listeners. You know, I said they talked Bucks for about 20 minutes. I guess Sean was going nuts about the Bucks pass rush, and the guy said to Sean, and this is coming from Sean Sullivan. Guy said to Sean, "You really love pass rushers. Why is that?" And Sean's response was, "I'm glad you asked."
and then talked to him for 20 minutes.
Yeah, you could picture him doing that too, man.
All right, Ira. Mike Evans, injured, hamstring issue.
Trouble.
He's had these. This is his seventh season. I want to say this is probably his fourth year with some hammy issues. But I'm not going to play doctor here. Do you think this is an issue? You just said it was trouble.
In the short term, hopefully. I'm not rushing him out for game one. I'm not doing it. I got to get the medical report, but if it's a 50-50 chance that he might be ready, he might not be ready, I think I'm sitting him. Long season, Lee. A lot of games to be won for this organization.
Though this is
I don't
one.
Want this man out 6 or 7 weeks.
Sure. If Lovie Smith was still here, thank God he isn't, Evans would be on the shelf for 2 weeks. He didn't play around with hamstrings, Lovie. I'm not worried for a couple of reasons. One, if you believe Ian Rappaport's report, he must be getting this from a family member because he said Evans was telling family members he'll play. You know, unless Evans himself called up Rappaport and said, "Yeah, I was telling my cousin Vic."
Right.
You know, I don't know where you get that information from. That's number one. Number two, I was the Scuttlebucks reappeared this week. Thank goodness. Jeff Cameron, Tom Lang are friends up in ESPN Tallahassee. And Thursday morning, I cut the first podcast with them for the season. And Jeff asked me, he goes, "What do you know about Mike Evans?" And I said, "Well, Jeff, I'll tell you this. There are certain rites of summer. There's baseball, warm weather, beaches. There's fireworks at the 4th of July. And there's Mike Evans having hamstring problems. That's part of training camp. That's what he does. So, and he doesn't often miss games with hamstring. Now, granted, last year at the end of the season, he sure did. But his hamstring problems in the summer rarely linger into the first couple weeks of the season. I'm not sweating. And I actually heard Mike Lombardi say this today. Lombardi worked with Brady, so he knows Brady pretty damn well. He all but said Brady is going to be short passing the Saints to death. He's going to short pass to Miller. Miller's going to take off if he can get past the guy. He's going to short pass to Godwin. We know what Godwin can do with Yak. He's going to short pass to Gronkowski, short pass to O.J. Howard. He said that's all Brady's going to do all day long. Short pass. He's not going to give the Saints time to hit him.
You know, I've been thinking about this a little bit, Steve, just like I've been thinking about Big Storm and Bill Curry Ford. Brady's not going to change his ways, not after 20 years, Steve. And he's not going to be a bombardier like he was with Randy Moss. It's not 2007 anymore. He doesn't like getting hit. Not that any quarterback does, but he really doesn't like getting hit. And he's going to throw a lot of balls in the dirt. And I'm talking about over the next 17 weeks. And he's going to throw a lot of flare passes to Fournette and McCoy. And Jones, he doesn't want to take sacks, Steve, and he doesn't want to get hit. And I believe, Lee, you were on that call just as I was with Leftwich, and they were asking these grandiose questions about what's the offense going to look like. And Leftwich said, "This is the greatest manufactured story in the world." I've been saying the same thing on this podcast. He said it's going to be a Tom Brady offense. That's what he said, Lee. You do everything to the quarterback. That's the answer. So Brady is not going to be throwing bombs to Godwin down the seam like Jameis Winston loved to do 7 times a game. That's not going to happen. And as a result, there'll be far less interceptions. But I don't think Evans or Godwin will see their numbers increase this season.
Okay, I'll go ahead and say this since you set me up. You know we're going to do predictions.
Can I first say why Aaron just made no sense? What are you doing?
Don't I ever make sense to you?
What are you doing? What was that last thing you just said? Godwin and Evans won't have more numbers?
They won't have more production than they had in 2019.
So will they have the same?
I think they'll have some less. I think they'll have less.
So they'll have less production.
Gronk wasn't here. Fournette caught 76 balls. McCoy's going
to
catch some
balls. So you think Tom Brady came here to throw less to the most prolific duo, in your guys' opinion? I'd put them top three. But you think he's going to throw less to the best two receiving duo in the NFL? He came here to do that?
He's not going to throw less to them than he is to Leonard Fournette, but he's going to throw less to them than Jameis Winston did. That's what I'm saying.
I'm on Ira's track. I don't know if I fully embrace
what... You're already outnumbered, Stephen. You're already outnumbered.
I'm not saying I fully embrace what I was saying, but I'm sort of... I'm in your lane. I've been wanting to say this for a few weeks.
Sure.
The Bucs will make a wild card. Now, I'll talk about their record later.
They'll make
a wild card. And Mike Evans, for the first time as an NFL player, he will not get 1,000 yards.
Whoa.
He will not, only because, and the reason why I say that, partially what you're saying, you know, Brady's not going to throw bombs.
He's not going to play 16 games?
I don't know that. Okay. But I'm saying he won't have 1,000 yards. Okay. He might have 980 yards. He won't have 1,000 yards. But my rationale is kind of what you're saying. It's not going to be bombs away like Jameis did all the time, number one. Number two, there's so many toys to play with. He's going to be spreading the ball out a lot. So I don't know if Evans is going to have as many touches as he has previously because they've got Fournette, because they've got Gronkowski.
Steve, wait till I say this because you think you would disagree with me a few minutes ago. Wait till I come up with this one. I asked Byron Leftwich, my one question for Leftwich is your general philosophy is, do you like one primary ball carrier who can get in a rhythm and wear a team down, lead by the fourth quarter?
Yeah, you're hung up about the running
attack. Or do you like running back by committee? Now, you know, we're always full disclosure on this podcast. So part of the reason I asked that?
You got Roger.
I got Leonard Fournette in my league over there. I don't know when I can start the guy.
You're asking Byron Leftwich fantasy questions?
No, I phrased it so it's not a fantasy question. Steve, you think you disagreed with me a couple of minutes ago. Wait till I get this one past him.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to go on record right now, my friend. If Ronald Jones is getting 18 carries and Leonard Fournette is getting 10, you have a problem with Leonard Fournette. And by that I mean he's always been the man, starting from his college days, and he was the man in Jacksonville, and he came here in part to be the man and to play second fiddle to Ronald Jones. Even if the Bucs are winning, I think you're going to have a disgruntled camper on your hands. How do you like that, Stephen?
Real quick. If they're winning, he won't be disgruntled.
Not publicly.
I don't think so at all. I disagree with you
again. If Ronald Jones is getting nearly double the carries of Fournette, that tells me Ronald Jones has turned into Roger Craig, and they can't get him off the field.
I hope that's the case.
I hope whoever's on the field balls out, whatever his name is.
My point is, Ronald Jones doesn't have the history of Leonard Fournette, and if Fournette's the number two back, that's going to be a problem.
Leonard Fournette came here because he didn't have to get beat up. He knew he was going to have six or seven man boxes, no 8-man boxes. He knew that he could double dip from his old salary. He knew that he'd have no taxes.
How's he going to get that second big contract extension if he gets 600 yards?
The same reason you're excited about him. As long as whatever touches he gets, if he's effective, he'll get his money next year. He's a first-round pick, big talent. He's only 25.
Lee, couldn't other general managers at that point say he couldn't beat out Ronald Jones?
No, not that stupid.
Not if they're winning, like Lee said.
Yeah, they're winning. No, I don't agree with that at all because they go deep into the data. They don't just look at a box score. They go deep into the data. They might call Light and say, hey, Jason, what's going on here? And Light will probably say, no, we couldn't get Ronald Jones off the field. He was making too much production.
Ira, I still don't discount them working Shady McCoy if he gets hot and rolling with that.
I don't see a big role for Shady McCoy. I don't see it.
Maybe he falls apart in three games.
What game did he lose for the Chiefs last year? You're so anti-Shady McCoy.
I don't like that marble rye holding that ball out. He went in Andy Reid's doghouse. Well, it's a bad sign.
I'm going to disagree with Lee a little bit because I think that without question, Tom Brady and Bruce Arians will make sure that Mike Evans gets those 1,000 yards just to keep that streak going.
I think they'll give him
that respect as a franchise-type player. And for Evans to get 65 yards a game, I think they'll make sure he gets that. If he gets hurt, all bets are off. And plus, with Dirk Cutter, he played underneath his share of slot work. Evans in the slot and did some other stuff, so I think they'll get him those touches.
And to amplify your point that you've made many times, Steve, on the podcast, Brady didn't come here to hand the ball off 37 times and throw 23 passes. You know, he throws a lot of footballs, even in the Belichick offense.
Yeah, and if he didn't come here for that, because one, when he showed up, they didn't have the running backs for that. And two, they didn't have the offensive line to pound the ball when he showed up. So he came here to pass the ball with a passing head coach, and they got all these weapons. So I don't know. To me, I just keep it simple. I think the Bucs will make the playoffs too. Leonard Fournette pushed me to thinking that they're a 10-win team. And if they don't score 30 points a game, 1.5 more than Jameis did with a crappy kicker.
With all the giveaways, yep.
Then what are they doing? They're messing up.
Lee, I don't see a role for McCoy. Once Fournette came aboard, I mean, is McCoy going to be the third down back necessarily?
He's not going to be thrown to the side. They're going to use him. Now, how much, I don't know. He's great depth.
Yeah, running backs get beat up.
You go from Dari to Shady McCoy, that's a significant upgrade on the back end of your roster. That's significant. And I'm still trying to come up with a play that Dari Ogunbowale made that makes everybody think he's the next Steve Tasker.
Well, everybody's crying their eyes out that he's on the Rams. You know, oh, I can't believe
it. Didn't he sign with the Jets?
Well, Lee, I guess the irony there is that Dari Ogunbowale replaced Leonard Fournette on the Jaguars. So good luck to Dari as he joins the Pro Bowl receivers in Jacksonville. I'm serious. DJ Chark might be one of the best in the game. Isn't he on your fantasy team, Ira?
No, not Chark. I took this guy, Chenault, the rookie.
Oh, LaVisca, yeah.
Yeah, LaVisca.
High hopes.
I just wanted to say his name. That's all. That's the only
Chenault
reason. And I don't think Minshew's a bad young quarterback. I think he's got some potential.
He played.
No. I do.
Don't tell me they're going to pass on Trevor Lawrence because of Gardner Minshew.
I didn't
Minshew.
Say that, but
no way.
Minshew showed something last
Minshew,
year.
Minshew, he was 6-6, 21 touchdowns, 6 picks. He ignited
That's
the team.
Josh Freeman numbers over there.
He played well. I don't think they're rooting against him.
No, but I mean, if the Jaguars stink, not that I care about the Jaguars, but if they stink, I think they got a chance to get Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields. No
well,
way they're going with Gardner
it
Minshew.
It depends what kind of year Minshew has.
Well, you can't be serious.
No, I'm with Ira. The Jaguars are way underrated in their level of talent because I think Minshew is good. They had arguably the best special teams last year.
He was so good he couldn't get Nick Foles off the field.
Well, that was bad management. Plus, he was a sixth-round pick, the guy the Bucs should have taken instead of Matt Gay. No, Minshew, he played well. You can't say he didn't play well. And they had top kicker, top punter, top special teams. Sirius ranked them as, I think, the number two special teams when they did a whole week of special teams. They've got too much talent to just completely be tanking. That's what I'm saying. So it'll be fun to watch.
No, they dismantled some of the defense. I mean, they have.
You see who they got rid of?
Yeah.
I bet the over. They were at 4.5. I got them at 4.5.
Okay.
All right, Sage. Now, look, on defense, Todd Bowles was chatting, talking about how the team should be pissed off that they didn't have it against New Orleans last year. And I think the biggest question I have for you, Ira, is I think the coaches, what I've smelled from the coaches is that they're not going overboard on this game. They're staying very low-key and measured because I think if they go too overboard on the importance of this game, if they lose and they're an underdog, then you sort of you bring a bad, terrible vibe to the team. What do you think?
I think that's a fair point, Steve. I've noticed an undercurrent of it's a long season. Don't read too much into week one. I don't think they're scared of the Saints. Not that they've got now that they've got Tom Brady. I don't think they're in fear of anyone.
Nor should they be.
Nor should they be. But I think Steve's point is right. And I think there's a lot to back it up. You know, look, I go back to the championship season. They lost week one at home to the Saints. People are probably saying same old Bucks, Chucky's debut. Well, why'd we bring Gruden in? You know, Dungy could have lost to the Saints just as well. And it was a bizarre play. I think the punter threw a pass out of the end zone.
You know, something weird.
Yeah, something weird.
And if I remember right, late in the game, the Bucks had third and like three, third and four on like the Saints 39-yard line, and Chucky punted.
Oh.
Not on third down, but they had like fourth down.
That's
it was like fourth
memory.
And it's like fourth and three, fourth and four on the 39, the Saints, and he punted because I had season tickets at the time. I remember this dude sitting next to me, couldn't believe it.
Steve, to your point, the other thing works the other way too. 2 years ago, they go into New Orleans. They win a shootout with a backup quarterback, Fitzpatrick, when he threw for 400 yards. Those first, I think it was his first three games. You know, nobody could believe it. And then they end up 5-11. Stay 5-11. Everybody's so excited about beating the Saints on the road in week one. So, look, this is going to be a tough game. It'd be very sweet to win it. I'm picking the Saints to win the division. Derek Brooks took umbrage, Lee, at that when we did our thing on Tampa 2, the identity. He wanted to come right through the Zoom screen and put his hands around my neck. And, of course, Brooks is wearing a Buck jersey at the time.
Well, he's got skin in the game.
Yeah, he's got skin. But he understands when I said, hey, I think the Saints got a heck of a team, which they do. So, Steve, either way, it's only one game. But it would be a nice statement to make in the Superdome.
I mean, the whole town would go nuts, and you'd be looking at tremendous hope for them to go 12 wins if they did something like that.
Now, if you lose week two at home to Carolina, you got problems. You got problems.
I agree.
You got huge problems, you know, and everything goes into question, especially if you're 0-2. And, you know, then the house is on fire, and we're sick of the house being on fire.
Well, we don't think that's going to happen.
We don't think that's going to happen, and we don't want to even think about it.
By the way, did you hear the stat today, Ira?
Brady
is 14-3 in opening week games.
Not bad. Not bad, Mr. Brady.
That's impressive.
And usually they got a tough game because they're coming off a Super Bowl.
And they got a Thursday night game. And,
yeah.
And they don't want to put a clunker on Thursday night. Yep.
Yeah, he and one of the ironies is that Bruce Arians, he said it on some sort of documentary, but I believe it was 2016, Patriots opened at Arizona, big Sunday night game. And they won on a missed field goal. And Arians said that killed his team's season. They never recovered. So he knows the psychiatry and the psychology of these opening day faux pas.
And the Cardinals that were coming off being in the NFC title game.
Yeah, yeah, it was a Sunday night game. I think I want to say it was Chandler Catanzaro missed the kick late. Now let's
you
move.
You know, Lee, a missed chip shot field goal takes the heart right out of a team. Right well, out of a
team. I'll tell you what, that Giants game, when the Bucks marched down for that chip shot, I'll never forget after the Jameis kneeled down to set up the field goal, the way he was pumping his fist, I thought to myself, uh-oh. I mean, they were all fired up. They thought they won the game. I don't know if the Bucks ever recovered after that.
All right, Ira, let me pose this hypothetical to you as we get into talking about all things offense. And sometimes you got to get on the offensive, so here you go. You put away your groceries, clean your hands, you look under the sink, there's water, you got a little crisis, you clean it up, you smell mold, you see water, what do?
Well, the first thing I do is make sure it's not Cosmo acting up. When I'm sure that it's not, I don't fool around, I grab the phone and I call Florida's Elite Restoration. They're going to come out, no obligation, free examination of what's going on. If you need a follow-up, they're going to do it at a reasonable rate, and they'll get the job done very well. What you don't do, Steve, is hesitate and put it off.
And their website, it's there 24/7. You can get information, see about all the disaster services that they offer, but they are mold remediation specialists, floridaselite restoration.com, just like it sounds, floridaselite restoration.com. They're your first call 24/7. They're going to respond quickly, and don't call your insurance company first. Call them. They'll give you a free consult, help you all the way through.
And, Steve, mold is a problem that is particularly acute in Florida with the heat and humidity, no question about it.
FloridasEliteRestoration.com. Get there. So, Iris, a somewhat shocking revelation from a guy who is either goofy or cliched or just disinterested in being very real, and I'm not knocking him for it. But I asked Rob Gronkowski, do you feel that your blocking is up to elite level, or do you need to play in a game first? And I was so surprised that he actually answered the question by saying, yeah, I feel good, but I got to see in a real game if I can block like I used to block, which I was very surprised that he actually said it, because he said you can't really get it from practice.
He's pretty candid, Steve. We've been around him now, you know, a bunch of times. He's a fun interview, Lee, and you can see his passion for the game. It comes right through the Zoom screen. And in terms of his blocking, Lee, I think he's got to get that together, because I happen to think that as this season plays out, I might be terribly wrong on this. But I think Gronkowski's value will be just as important in terms of his blocking as it is his receiving. I think his days of, you know, catching 13 touchdown passes and 1,100 yards, I think they're over. I think they're over.
They might be, but I can't go that far only because...
But he's a ferocious blocker, Lee.
At one point, he certainly was.
When he's healthy.
That's why he retired, because he was all beat up physically. So to say that he can't get the same production he used to, well, he was getting good production when he was, you know, all beat up, and now he's healthy. So I can't yet go there. I'm not saying you're wrong, but we'll see. I will be very surprised, certainly Sunday against the Saints. I'd be very surprised if they don't use Gronkowski to help out Wirfs on Cam Jordan, because it looks like Marcus Davenport is questionable at best.
Yes.
As we're recording this, Davenport, I don't think, has practiced this week.
Their second best pass rusher.
Yeah. You know, that's why they were trying to get Clowney so bad. I would be very surprised if he's not helping Wirfs
on
Cam Jordan.
And I will reiterate that I think Gronkowski next to Wirfs could end up being the bread and butter running play for the Bucks on those.
There you're back with that
situation.
Loaf of bread and the butter again.
Or Marpet and Smith.
You don't
think so?
Marpet and Smith. They've had 5 years to bread and butter. They don't even have cream cheese.
Well, I saw those guys.
Granted,
it was a practice, and granted they.
I don't want to hear your practice observations.
Okay, well, I saw them blow up with some holes for running backs in practice that I don't recall seeing before
often. They pushed Kevin Minter off the line of scrimmage. You're all excited over there.
Sage, all right, let me hit you with some Bucks questions, rapid answers. So the fans know where your head is at. You ready for some rapid fire?
Let's go, Stevie.
All right. Jason Pierre-Paul, how many games and how many sacks?
13 games, 11 sacks.
Lee?
I was going to say 12 sacks. Games, I'll go ahead and say 15.
All right. I'm going to give him 14 and 8.5.
Okay.
Shaq Barrett, Ira, games, sacks?
16. 12 and a half. All 16 games, 12 and a half.
I was going to say 13, but okay. And 13
See,
might be a
reach. See, great minds think alike over here. Now, what about you, Stevie?
I'm going to give Shaq a strong year. I'm going to give him 16 and 13 and a half.
Okay. And in Shaq's mind, that would mean, the season got canceled after week 11.
And that gives Shaq $20 million for next year, and who knows where he's going to be playing.
There you go.
All right, Ira, Ndamukong Suh, does his arrow point down by the end of this season? Is he on his way out, or is he going to be steady veteran cruising into another year?
Steady veteran. He's pretty consistent. And I think I read a story a couple weeks ago where Sapp took some shots at Vea.
He's never liked him.
And, Sapp's very hard on defensive tackles that play for the Bucks. He's very hard on those guys. And complaining that they should combine for 15 sacks. Well, Bowles is very happy being number one against the run, and I think those two guys are primarily responsible for that. I think Sue will remain a rock-steady force against the run.
And he won't be here next year.
Okay.
All right, Iris. So we've got that down. We got some nuggets there on the defensive line. Now let me move to the offense, because these are the key numbers. Bucks were third in the league in points scored last year. Not all of them were by the offense, but we're gonna call it mostly offense,
despite
obviously.
Despite losing 41 possessions.
Third in the league in points scored. Third. Will they be third or better this year?
If they're not, there's trouble in paradise.
Ooh.
They didn't have Gronkowski. Of course, they didn't have number 12. They didn't have Fournette. They didn't have McCoy. They didn't have Wirfs. And you're going to go backwards? Adding those guys? That's a problem. And you're not going to have 41 giveaways either.
Well, you're not going to have 41 giveaways, but I'm going to go back to something you said. Brady's not going to be Jameis in the sense that he's not bombs away every time he drops back. That would lead me to believe that they're not going to be as prolific at scoring. They'll be good, but they won't be... Third, you know, they might be sixth, they might be fifth. I don't know about third, because third, you're damn close to being the best. Only because of what you're saying about earlier, and I agree with you, that Brady's not going to be Jameis.
Well,
both bad and good.
Even with the way that Brady plays, the Patriots had a healthy offensive average last year.
Sure, and Brady's put up more than 30 points a year, I think three times.
Well, also, if you're going to use Fournette, if you go to a ground game, and I'm not saying they should specifically go to a ground game, that's crazy. You're built to pass. But if they go more to a ground game because of Fournette, that lessens your explosive plays.
Yeah.
And then we move over to third most yards. That's what the Bucs had last year. They were good at yards. They were good at points.
I would say less yards this
less
year.
Yardage.
Less yardage.
And more points. That's what you're calling for?
I would not be, if I was a Buck fan, I would not be dissatisfied with 28.5 points a game. That's a healthy number.
All right.
It's a healthy number. Now, it's a winning number. If you do the other things right, and your secondary's not terrible for 10 games, and you don't have, and you make some kicks, and you don't give the ball away 41 times, Steve.
All right, now, after a whole training camp, Ira, you look at the Bucs secondary, and we see that Ryan Smith has an ankle injury. Andrew Adams, these are their two veteran guys back there, both 27 years old. Andrew Adams, he's got on the hamstring list, and they got all the young guys going. Jamel Dean, history of injury. He was injured last year as well. Played very well when he was in, except for early in the season. What do you think happens in the secondary? But just how do you think this all flushes out? Who shines? Who doesn't? Where do they end up? Are they going to be drafting in the secondary next year? What do you think?
There's a lot of inexperience back there. A lot. You got the three young corners. You got the rookie safety starting. Whitehead's no savvy veteran at this point. Mike Edwards, you know, is a second-year player. Lee, if things start to go off the hinges, you know, who's the cool head back there that's been in big games that's going to calm some of these guys down? You got Kevin Ross as the coach, but you like to hear it from a player that's been in big games. So, you know, to go back to something Steve's been saying, and I really can't argue it, I got to see more out of Bunting, Davis, and Dean that to prove it to me that they're big-time players. Playing well week one in New Orleans would go a long way for me. But what happened the first 10 games? What really happened? They were torched.
I would love to find out, unfortunately, because of the virus. We can't talk to these guys one-on-one. You can't tell me it's a coincidence that the minute they got rid of Hargraves, all of a sudden that defense turned on a dime. There was something going on there. I don't know if it was they were leaning guys toward Hargraves to help him out, and therefore it exposed the rest of the secondary. Something weird. You can't tell me all of a sudden they got good when they got rid of one player. In the secondary, specifically.
Now, Lee, that doesn't mean that I agree with that clown the other day that said they got the 32nd.
Which clown?
The 32nd best quarterback tandem.
Well, that's Cynthia Freeland. I wouldn't call her a clown.
Cynthia, go back to school, Cynthia.
I'd call her misguided, but I wouldn't.
misguided is might be an understatement over there, Steve. They're not the number 32 tandem, but just like you, you're a little skeptical, and you want to see them keep up the level of play they showed the last six games.
I'm skeptical.
And there's no guarantee they'll do that.
I'm skeptical she watches games.
All right, we talked about her already. Who cares about Cynthia Freeland? Come on now. All right, so the secondary.
I think they're very, very young back there.
So you just see a little improvement coming, and they'll go from there? Is that what you're saying, Ira? You got to see it. You don't know.
I think having Pierre Paul from week one helps in terms of pass rush, because when he was back and he was getting into the rhythm of things, things changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's necessarily a coincidence. So that's going to help right there, Steve. I think Vita Vea will continue to improve as a factor on the pass rush. I'm a Vita Vea guy. I think he's very talented. I think he's has a unique skill set. He's got to stay healthy. So they're not going
to
be the New England secondary, but they're going to be okay.
Well, we saw how many teams tested the Bucs on the ground last year over and over, and they failed. So I guess logic would say you're going to see more and more passing against the Bucs this year. Even though the Bucs were the most passed against team last year, you're probably going to see more. Because why would you run up the gut against the Bucs when you can start testing corners? I don't know. I think they're going to make a lot of plays. I think they're going to make a lot of mistakes. But I think ultimately the offense will cover for them just enough.
I think you're right. I mean, why beat your head against the wall with that run game? Nobody ran against the Bucks. Maybe would they allow one?
No, they did until they realized, you know what, half the season.
No,
half
nobody
the season
ran
through.
Effectively.
Right.
Nobody ran effectively.
But my point is that teams kept trying and trying and failing and failing. You know, NFL offensive coordinators have a way of catching up. Sage, anything you liked from Tom Brady today, Lee? Anything stand out?
Well, they keep asking him about his regimen. He loves talking about his regimen. Lee, if
TB12?
You could, if you can bottle it, maybe it would help me on the tennis court, Lee. You know, I'm not opposed to it. He's very careful. But I'll tell you what, in comparison, he makes Todd Bowles sound like Buddy Hackett. I mean, Bowles makes Brady look, sound like Buddy Hackett, I might say.
I got to be honest, I would rather listen to Bowles than Brady. Brady doesn't say anything, but he keeps talking.
I got a message for Todd Bowles. And Todd, I know you listen to this podcast.
Do you?
So my message is, lighten up. Give us a little something. Give the fans a little something, more importantly. Forget about us. But you're talking to the fans, and we're just a conduit. You got a lot of personality. You're a singer. You're this. You're that. Todd, lighten up. I know you're more interesting than you're showing. You are so close to the vest, you're going to need another vest suit.
Here's what I learned from Brady, that Sean Payton doesn't know how to unsubscribe from unwanted emails or use a spam filter. That I learned.
By the way, how many times did Brady say, I think the over-under is 9. We're facing a heck of a challenge. They're a heck of a team.
Which they are.
That's the Belichick school. Belichick would play the Buffalo Bills when the Bills were a 3-13 team.
Dangerous.
He's playing them in December. They're very dangerous. They're if they're having a good day, we're in for a long afternoon.
Classic Belichick would be, if number 46 gets loose there, you know, that's a problem.
That's classic Belichick. And you can't drum that out of Brady. You can't do it.
All right, Ira, quick thought. Aqib Talib announced his retirement. Is he going to get your Hall
Aqib.
Of Fame vote? Your Hall of Fame vote?
Well, maybe just for getting into a scrap with Rick Stroud, he might get a couple of votes around the table. But you said he's fantastic on this podcast.
He's got a new podcast. Yeah, Talib's a great listen.
Is he a Hall of Famer? I got to say he's short. I got to say he's short, Steve. You're going to give me his statistics. You know, look, he made his 4 or 5 Pro Bowls. Lee, he might have made a couple All-Pro teams. He ain't no Revis in Revis's prime. He's just not. And, you know, he's not Darryl Green that did it for 20 years. And he's not Rondé Barber either. So, in my opinion, he's short.
You know, I'm going to say something here. You're going to be revolted.
Revolted?
Yeah.
I'm not easily revolted.
I can't remember the player's name. This was maybe 3 or 4 months ago. He retweeted something from Mike Sando, who works for The Athletic, covers the NFL.
Who did? Talib?
No. Oh. So some defensive back. Again. Oh. He currently plays in the NFL. And obviously, he didn't see Darryl Green. I guess Sando mentioned Darryl Green in his story or wrote about him. I don't know. If I would say his name, you'd recognize. He was a starter in the NFL. The guy retweeted Sando's story where there was a mention of some sort about Darryl Green. He goes, I don't understand Darryl Green. If you look at his numbers, and I retweeted that with a clip of Darryl Green. And like, if you saw Darryl Green play, you would not be asking why he's in the Hall of Fame.
He played 20 freaking years, Lee.
Forget how long he played. He was damn good.
Damn good.
He was damn good. And Sando retweeted my thing. Because he was basically saying right on.
He was fast as hell. Maybe a notch below Deion Sanders.
You ever see, you know, I'm sure you have. You ever see the play where he ran down Eric Dickerson?
I don't remember that.
He was like 20 yards away. It was a Monday Night Football game. He was 20 yards away from Eric Dickerson. Came across the field. Caught him from behind.
Now, if he runs down Ronald Jones, that's a story, my friend. Of course, Darryl Green's 55 years old. I don't know if he can do it.
How many carries on Sunday, Ira, for Jones, for McCoy, for Fournette on Sunday?
Sunday. 16, 4, 11. 16, 4, 11.
16 Jones,
carries.
4 McCoy, 11 Fournette. All right, Sage.
You ask, you get an answer.
All right, well, you know what? We have come such a long road to get here through a pandemic, through
the rain,
another wacky and wild offseason. Through the defrocking of Jameis Winston, all the way here.
And here we are, poised.
Opening day, you're going to be at Big Storm Brewing Company with fans, kickoff, 425.
This is the second 100 years of NFL football. The second 100 years is about to start, and the Bucks are the nerve center. How crazy is that, Lee?
It's shocking, Ira. But wait a minute, Sage. Don't change the subject on me. What time are you walking into Big Storm on Sunday? Now, they open at 11. We'll be there. What time are you walking through?
The man beast told me that you said he should get there at 11 o'clock in the morning. When he told me that, I said, are you freaking crazy, Zach? He goes, that's what Isbitz told me.
He's got to take care of your chair.
That's 2 hours before the early kickoffs, Lee.
You obviously don't go to too many bars on Sundays.
Don't expect me at 11 o'clock in the morning.
2:30?
I'm just 2:30. Getting into my bacon and eggs over there.
You going to watch the opening game with fans? What do you do? 1:30, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock?
The Buck game starts 4:30. I'll be there.
3?
Maybe 2:30. Now, wait a minute. I'm on the marquee. I might have my own designated spot over there, Lee. I'm holding out for that.
Sheriff's office down the street.
Who's paying for my food on Sunday? That's another key question, Lee.
Always a key question for Ira. All right, Sage, now, but it's been a long journey, and we don't even need to express it. Bucks fans are going out of their minds. This will be the highest-rated Buccaneers game on television, I'm sure, since the playoffs of the glory days by far. The numbers for this are going to be astronomical on Fox. It's going to be amazing. And, you know,
we've got to do a shout-out to our listeners and readers, Steve, how much we appreciate them to stick with us through all these wacky times, too. Lee, our traffic's up. Steve, I think we can make this vow to our customers.
Wow.
We make this vow. It's a sacred vow, Steve. They may not like everything we're going to say, but we're going to believe everything we say, unlike a lot of people that do this for a living. And we're going to try to be honest at all times. And when I say the Saints are going to win the division, I don't take any pleasure in that. But I think the Bucks have all these moving new pieces. It's going to take a while. The Saints have a lot of continuity.
All right, well, on that front, Ira.
And they won the division by 6 games, Stephen. 6.
I understand. It's a huge, huge ground to make up. But on that note, Ira, I'll kick off the predictions, and I'm going to make a promise and a prediction. The promise is there will be no freak out on Monday for me on JoeBucksFan.com unless the Bucks have like 14 penalties and miss 4 kicks, something ridiculous like that. There won't be a freak out because I expect the Bucks to lose on Sunday. I just think it's the most difficult spot they could be walking into when it comes to an opening day situation and Brady's still human, still a new scene. So I think the Bucks are going to lose. They'll be more competitive than they were last year, but I still see them falling 30-24 to the Saints. But I'm not going to freak out because I, on my list of losses, this is one of them.
And I will go with the Saints 27-23. I think Suckup kicks 3 field goals. But along those lines, it's hard to beat the Saints. Kicking field goals, Steve, and I'm like you, no reason to freak out if the Bucks lose, right, Alyssa? Our lovely waitress here.
Alyssa.
Alyssa. So, Lee, it's up to you to try to even this out a little bit by picking the visitors. I don't know that you will.
I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to go by numbers. I hate to do that because I'm not a numbers guy. Unless it's the zeros on the check I get from Isbitz. And that's why he's chugging lemonade. I'm going to throw up. The Saints are 1-5 in their last 6 opening week games.
Nicely. Nice.
Brady is 14-3.
Nice.
Advantage Bucks. Just by that alone.
Not
advantage
bad.
Bucks.
For whatever reason, the Saints start slowly, Steve. What score you got, Lee?
I think lack of an offseason is going to hurt both teams. I think Breeze is going to look older, not just visually. He's going to look older than Brady. 24-21 Bucks on a suck-up field goal.
There you go.
So there you have it, Ira. And just a quick flashback from 2 years ago. I said for weeks on the podcast, Ryan Fitzpatrick had a tremendous opening day record. Saints had a bad one. I predicted a Bucks win.
Yes, you did. Yes,
everybody
did.
Said I was an idiot. So there we go. So maybe I still am an idiot.
You also picked the Bucks to go 12-4 that season.
No, I did not. Ira, come on.
You know what? But that wasn't the season. It's in 2017, I picked the Bucks to win 10 games. I was 5 games over on the over on that one. That was a terrible prediction. I guess I got sucked into the late charge of the 2016 season. They almost made the playoffs. They were 8-5 at one point, and they finished 9-7. And I didn't realize that they made a couple of lousy off-season pickups, and they
couldn't
handle
it. Old news, Sage. Old news.
Yeah, there you go.
2020. We are fired up. Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford, General Manager Sean Sullivan, for making everything happen on this podcast. Of course, he is the proud sponsor, Bill Curry Ford, of the Scuttlebutt.
Well, so I will see you on Sunday, right, Stephen?
So Bill Curry Ford, we thank them for their presenting sponsorship of the Sage. And we will see the Sage at Big Storm, but mostly we will see him at iKaufman76 on Twitter, where he promises lots of witty things this year during the season. In the off season, Ira tweets a little bit more about...
I've been doing better on the retweets, Steve. I've been doing better.
Raquel Welch and all his things that he likes
Diane
to tweet
Cannon.
About.
Yeah.
That's a blast from the past, Diane Cannon.
All right, Sage. You know, tonight's podcast, a little bit different, more reflective. We could sit here and bellow and bloviate all night, but you know what? It's football season.
That's a good word, Steve, bloviate. That's a hell of a word.
And it's here. We earned it. We worked here. Now we just get to sit back and watch the Bucks win.
By the time we do our next podcast, a Buck game will be in the books, Steven.
And we'll have a lot to break down, a lot to analyze. I kind of think Rojo's going to have a big day on Sunday for Brojo, not for the rest of the league, but for Rojo. I think he's going to have like a... 15 carries for 76 yards and impress some people.
Oh, by the way, Lee, didn't I get into it with Sean Sullivan the other day when he was trying to say that Michael Thomas is overrated? Michael Thomas isn't that good.
Somebody didn't like, I don't know, it was Todd Wright or if it was...
It might have been Sullivan. Boy, we got into it, Steve. I said, you're knocking a guy that just caught 150 balls? Hey, he's not that good, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you claim the Bucks prop him up.
Steve, we're going to have a lot to talk about on this next podcast.
It's going to be fun. Ira, Lee, Ira, we're out of here.